It's good to see everybody out tonight. The 23rd Psalm is one of the best known passages in Scripture. It's only 6 verses long, and yet in those 6 short verses, David describes God with such depth and power that entire books of theology couldn't even begin to touch it. In these verses, David tells us truths about God and what God means to him and what God can mean to us. This is one of the most important biblical truths is that the Lord is my shepherd. And until you understand that simple truth, really nothing else in Scripture makes a lot of sense. It certainly doesn't make any difference. What David was describing here was a God who really cared for him. He said that the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He didn't even say the Lord is the shepherd. But David makes it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. Years ago, someone told of a dream that they had, and in that dream, they moved amongst the temples of ancient Greece. And near one of them, they met a priest and began to talk to him. And pointing to the people approaching the temple, the dreamer said to the priest, "I suppose these people are here to honor and love their God." And the priest just laughed and said, "Honor, love, what do those mean to a God? They fear him because he might destroy them. But love, no one loves a God." But the dreamer interjected. He said, "Don't these people seek to know the will of their God?" And the priest replied, "He doesn't work by will, but he works by whim. And he may smite one with illness or curse with barrenness or blight with disaster. No one can know the mind of a God. One may only appease his anger." And that's really how a lot of people look at God. They say they see him as uncaring or maybe even cruel, a deity to be feared and to be avoided. But not David here in Psalms 23. David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd." Again, it's personal for David. This is his God. This is his shepherd. And because of that, David knew that he was safe. In Psalms chapter 59, verse 16, there it's written that "I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud at your steadfast love in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress." In Psalm 61, towards the end of verse 2, into verse 3, it says, "I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against my enemy." And so that was the key to David being a man after God's own heart. David wasn't a Sunday go-to-meeting kind of guy. He didn't just show up for an hour on Sunday and then live however he wanted to the rest of the week. David was totally sold out for God because he understood and knew that the Lord wasn't just a God who was way, way up there and who didn't really care. The God that David loved, loved him back. And so David wrapped his life around this God. David's attitude towards God reminds me of a Sunday school teacher who asked her class if any of them could recite the entire 23rd Psalm. And finally, one little girl raised her hand, and when the teacher asked if she really knew the entire Psalm, the little girl nodded and began, "But the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all that I want." Well, that might be the best theology that we'll hear all year. The Lord is our shepherd, and he is all that we'll ever need and all that we'll ever want. But that does raise a question. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord all that you want? And until you can figure that out, you'll miss out on the best that God has to offer. And just one of the most important things God has to offer you is this. God has a plan for you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God knows where you need to be. And if God is your shepherd, he's going to take you there. When God is your shepherd, he has plans for you. He has a destination in mind for you. And that's what Jeremiah 29:11 says. It says, For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to add, give you hope and a future. And there are people that will tell you that this promise doesn't apply to Christians, that they'll say this promise was only for the Jews in Jeremiah's day. And that's kind of a little bit annoying because that's really not true. And I'm convinced that that promise is for all of God's chosen people, including us here today. And the reason why I know that is that's the same promise that Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:10. When Paul writes that, "For we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." God does have a plan for you, and he has good works prepared in advance just for us to do. A lot of times when people reject this promise out of Jeremiah, it's because they've heard it from prosperity preachers who promise that the promise there in Jeremiah, they use that promise to hoodwink people into thinking that God intends to make them rich and make them successful. But in reality, when God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future," you think back at that time, Judah, at that time, was just about being ready to be led away into captivity. Judah had been a very bad people, and when God makes that promise, he was just about to punish them for that bad behavior. But even when God was punishing them, he was still saying, "I don't want to hurt you. I have a plan for you. I have a plan to give you hope and a future." Even at that time, God still wanted to be their shepherd, even when they were being punished for disobedience. God always has had a plan for his people. God always has a destination marked out for us, a destination where we can have hope, where we can have a future. But it may not be a destination where we'll be rich and famous and successful. But that's not the point. When God says that I have a plan for your life, what he's saying is that he is giving you a reason to exist. He is giving you a purpose for your life. One writer once said that I don't fear death. I don't think I've ever been afraid to die. What I am afraid of is that I'll waste my whole life. Well, when the Lord is your shepherd, you know that your life will not be wasted. Again, you may not end up being rich and famous, but it will matter that you did live, because God will make sure that your life matters. William Barclay once said that there are two great days in a person's life, the day he is born and the day he discovers why. Well, God says, "Follow me, and I'll show you why you were born." But again, here's the deal. In order for your life to be worthwhile, you've got to follow him. He knows where you need to go. But if you don't follow him, you may end up where you don't certainly want to be. About 15 years ago, there's a story in eastern Turkey that some shepherds had taken a break to eat their breakfast. And apparently, they weren't watching things very closely because one of their sheep wandered too close to a cliff and fell over to its death. Now, sheep tend to follow their shepherds. But if the shepherd isn't around, well, they find a sheep that looks like a good one to follow. And that's what happened here while they were on breakfast. One sheep fell over the cliff, and soon enough, 1,500 others followed it along with it. 400 of them died, and of course the rest were injured pretty bad. They died and they were injured because they followed a sheep and not a shepherd. They followed the other sheep because they figured, well, that guy must know where he's going. But he didn't. And that's sometimes what happens to us as Christians as well. We take our eyes off the shepherd and we start paying attention to experts or important people or people of influence. And most of the time, those folks are sheep just like us. But they're very good at convincing us that they know what they're doing and where they're going. And before you know it, if you listen to them, you find yourself that you don't know where you're going either. And they've led you off a cliff. We can't trust other sheep. They are only guessing about where we are going. They don't understand life the way that God does. And I mean that's not necessarily that they're out to do evil or deceptive, though that could be the case. But as Christians, we can't trust them because they really don't know where they're going. And I'll let you in just on a little, I guess, of a secret. I think probably all of us, me in particular, there are times when I don't know where I'm going. Sometimes I'm not even sure how I got there. But I know that God does, and I know that I can trust Him because He knows what lies ahead. And He's quite literally in my tomorrows, knowing what is best for me. And as I thought about this lesson a little bit, I thought if God knows what lies ahead, and He wants to lead a path that He knows is best for me, why do I have such a problem sometimes trusting God? And again, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself, because sometimes I don't know what lies ahead like God does. And when life begins to fall apart, I get scared, I panic, I get frustrated, I get angry. Sometimes, like all of us, there are moments when we just sort of want to give up. But the Bible repeatedly tells us that trust God, wait on God, believe in God. And that's why the Bible repeatedly tells us things like Psalms 56:3, that when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Or as Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7, to cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. As Paul tells us in Philippians 4, beginning in verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the question is do I trust God? And that's what God is all about. And that's what the 23rd Psalm is all about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, as someone once said, when life gets hard, you don't need reasons. You need comfort. Sometimes you don't need some answers. Sometimes you just need someone. And God does not come to us most of the time with an explanation. But He does come to us always with His presence. And in that we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision. It seems to be a thing that people seek perfection. God isn't looking for perfect people. He'll take care of that part. God's looking for you where you're at. If you're not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision to come as together we stand and we sing.